Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. From Vancouver to Halifax, Flin Flon to Estevan, he's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Thursday, October the 17th, 2019. We're coming to you from the bunker in episode number 96 of the show. I'm the host, Rod Peterson, as the man Rick Regan said. The co-host is Darren DuPont over there. If I'm Cagney, he's Lacey. Means absolutely nothing to you.
It means nothing. I'm sorry.
That from our director of business, Tyler Gross.
But now you got to educate me.
Thank you, Tyler. Cagney and Lacey, one of the greatest shows of television history. As we set flight here in hour one, Scott Henbury joining us, director of sales from Great Western Brewery. You see, he's got the Blades jersey on.
Morning.
What do people need to know about Cagney and Lacey? It was a great... You're in the generation.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't my show, but... Yeah, I remember very well.
You didn't set the VCR.
I age myself when I tell you that, but
I know. Well, I was going to say steak. I'm steak. He's eggs. And then DuPont would have blurted out, "You've done that before."
No, that one would be new.
It would have been new, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Save it. And
save
I won't
it
tell
for
you
tomorrow.
You've used it before.
Save it for tomorrow. As we get rolling here, I mentioned it's episode number 96. There's only one number 96 that I care to identify and call out, and that is Scott Schultz, the old 96er. I gave him the nickname. But as we roll along today in the Facebook wall, Prairie Mobile text line, if you've got some 96s that you would like to point out, we're all ears here today. On the program today, it's going to be incredibly busy. This is going to be like trying to run across the ring road in rush hour. I'm telling you. We got the Silver Fox, Kelly Rempel. I think he's around the corner. He's here somewhere to talk a little dub, CFL, and 80s rock. Kirk Myers, curling great from the Myers curling team. He's going to be our curling insider, and maybe we can get him on. Well, he's not going to end curling anytime soon, right, Darren? But one day,
yes,
he would be great as a curling insider on television.
Oh, big time. Yeah, he's such a great guy, too, and he's very well-spoken.
Yeah, but as I pointed out to his camp, you need to start winning.
Yeah.
There's a reason Russ Howard is on CBC. He's Russ Howard. Matthew Cos will join us from CFL.ca. Brandon Crowe, the voice of the Brandon Wheat Kings, will be with us. They're in Seattle, but Brandon will be joining us from the Emerald City, and we may have an update from TSN Montreal as well. Morning sports headlines that I got to get to. Connor McDavid had a 5-point performance, and the Edmonton Oilers trounced the Philadelphia Flyers 6-3 last night. The Oilers captain had a goal and 4 assists in the effort, while Leon Draisaitl scored twice and registered a pair of helpers. Connor now joining Gretz and Mario Lemieux as the only 3 players to have 17 points in their first 7 games. Now, I didn't watch the Leaf game, so you did you?
Huh, no.
You didn't watch it?
No, I was
going to defer to you and Clark for what happened at
I
ACC.
I watched highlights, that's it. They lost to Washington.
I don't even think
to
they...
the Capitals.
Oh, I know. It was 4-3, right? Yeah. Thanks in large part to a 68-second stretch where Toronto gave up 3 goals. Ooh, boy, that sounds like the Oilers of old.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Dave Tippett last night losing his mind. After the game, the Oilers head coach, and trust me, we'll get to the football talk here shortly, but here was my night. I'm not going to watch 6 hours of hockey, so I deferred the Leafs game, and I thought, you and Clark will have that handled.
Sure.
And they lost, and so then I turn on the Oilers game. It's awesome. Rogers' place sold out. First shot, Leon Draisaitl, bink, and I'm like, this is going to be easy. And apparently the Oilers thought the same thing. We turned over, watched an episode of Insatiable Sarah Kalanis show on Netflix. Yep. Then watched an episode of Riverdale. Go back to the Oilers game. It's 6-1. I'm like, oh, I don't need to watch any more of this. Go down, start doing some work in my home office, and all of a sudden, bing, bing, my phone starts going off. The Flyers are scoring. But I'm like, yeah, 6-3, not a big deal. And then I see Dave Tippett's comments this morning after the game, and he's pissed. Did you see him?
Yeah.
And actually, I should stop talking. Scott Henbury here, director of sales from Great Western. I said to just please join the discussion here. You're nodding your head like one of our bobbleheads here. Are you an Oilers fan too?
You know, probably back in the day I was. I don't know that I really am anymore. Not as much as I probably once was, but it's enjoyable to watch.
Well, do you have an NHL team?
Winnipeg Jets.
That's fine. Yeah. We'll take it.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, this show needs a Jets fan.
Yeah.
So
that is true.
The Jets. Love the Jets. It's,
okay.
You know, that's kind of my team. Used to live in Winnipeg for a bit, so I was there. Unfortunately, I was there when the team had just left. And as I was working my way back to Saskatchewan is when they were bringing the team back. But it was like the city was unbelievable during those years.
But that's why you're a Jet. I was going to ask how you gravitate from the Oilers to the Jets, but you just kind of nailed it there. So
yeah, spent some time in Winnipeg. And yeah, I mean, Jets fans are fantastic. And I've been to a number of games since then. And just, yeah, it's easy to get behind them. Like, honestly, reminds me of another fan base that I might be close to.
So. Yeah, no, it's all good. And by the way, let's take care of business and then we'll continue the sports talk. And it's not really business, but you guys watch up there at the brewery in Saskatoon every morning and you felt our bunker was a little light on gifts.
Yeah,
am I right on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, I mean, I do want to call out, I see Mike Sissons there. My
What's
buddy,
he saying?
My buddy from Prince Albert with the Raiders. So first of all, Great Western, we are very proud to be able to sponsor all five WHL teams here in Saskatchewan. So we're working with the Raiders, the Blades, the Pats, the Warriors, and just this year we've added on the Broncos. So very, very pleased to be able to work with all five teams. This morning, as Sissons points out, I am wearing my Blades jersey. Sissons, maybe next time we'll wear a different one. But and then on top of that, I also brought, I'll just bring her out here.
Yeah.
But,
I like this one.
We got the Saskatchewan Rush. And
love it.
Brought out a Saskatchewan Rush jersey. We had this jersey made up. This is a practice jersey. We've been partnering with the Saskatchewan Rush now for a number of years. And so we had these made up, and we actually, this one happens to be signed by the team from last year. So it's a little gift that we'd love to leave here.
I love
for
it.
You
and,
at the bunker for you.
Well, it's fun. I appreciate it. And we'll obviously we'll find a great spot for it. And Scott's like, maybe you can give this away. I'm like, nope. That one's staying here. And also some glassware too. So I appreciate that. It's all fantastic. And I should say that shortly after, I don't know what was our announcement that we were forming a partnership, but Brandon Urban of the Rush got a hold of you. You better
he
tell
did.
The
well, people. You know, and he saw us on the show. Brandon and his family and their, you know, their family and the Rush family, fantastic partners and a lot of fun to work with. And if you've never been to a Rush game, like, honestly, you got to take it in. The live NLL lacrosse is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So it's so much fun.
I think you said the term addicting yesterday.
Yeah.
And it is.
It's addicting. And once you go, like, the energy in the building. And if you don't know a thing about lacrosse, like, go. It's so much fun. You will enjoy it immensely, and it'll make you want to go again.
I can't believe how many people that I talked to that haven't been. Rems, have you been to a Rush game yet?
Taking my son this year.
So they haven't. So there's still a lot of people, a lot of room for the Rush to fill that barn. Oh, as we roll, this is the warm-up, so we're all over the place. We'll settle on some other topics later on, but welcome to the world, and it's probably not new to you, but the Raiders, you know, they want a Raider jersey on, and, well, green doesn't work here too well, but you're kind of in the middle of a fight of all these things. The Pilot Butte Storm, they won. I put the puck, where is it?
Other side.
Oh, other side. I put the Storm puck up here because they were upset that somehow their puck got knocked off. And they won last night over Fort Knox. So people are fighting to get on this desk. And we had to move the Pats bobblehead off because they really haven't done squat. So in terms of gifts here. So, yeah, there's the Storm puck for you guys, and you won. And I appreciate all the love that we're getting from across the province. We're trying to please everybody, which, of course, when you try to do that, you end up pleasing nobody. But you must be very excited about the Heritage Classic then. You got your tickets?
Yep. We'll be there.
Right.
Yep. We're going. So we've got a big group, our whole senior management team. We're coming down.
Well, we know who won't be there, right, Dupes?
Yeah.
I texted Theo Fleury yesterday at lunch with these guys. I said, Theo, are you coming for the game? He's like, wasn't invited, so I'm not coming. Can we get on that? Well, honestly, that's the sad thing about a lot of pro teams. I wouldn't say they turn their back on their alumni. They probably will have, those teams might have alumni here, but I know the fans love to see the old guys, right?
Yeah,
it's very, very similar to, you know, the interview with Ricky Foley here yesterday. It's still going viral with the comments that he made yesterday, and the people just love them some Ricky Foley.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's the people you grew up with, and at that era, was so good at marketing the players, yep. And it was such a big deal. And now we've gone more to marketing the teams, yep. Which is I understand why, but. As kids, we don't build an affection. I mean, we do to the teams, but it's because of the players.
Absolutely.
We have our favorite players. We collect their cards. We wear their jerseys. We use their number when we're playing hockey. And I think teams, and I've said this 1,000 times on this show, need to get back to marketing the players.
Yeah.
And keeping players around. It's that whole Moneyball thing where you can replace a guy every year and not lose the productivity. That's cool, but you're not really building a foundation with your team.
Yeah.
Or the love for the team. Like, yeah, like you're invested. It's the first thing you think about when you get up in the morning, and it's the last thing you think about before you go to bed. But anyways, that's their business, not ours. You know, and I hope that Theo does make his way out here for the Heritage Classic, because I'm starting to feel the hype. Way back in the spring when I was in Winnipeg, I threw a sports conference there, and Paul Appelese was one of the speakers, and I was visiting with some Jets personnel, and they said, this was in March, I think, they said, are people getting excited about the Heritage Classic in Regina? And I'm like, that's 7 months away. The Jets were already excited last spring, but would you say now... You're hearing about it, but you didn't all summer. That's what summer's for, is for summer.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I think it's what are we, a week away?
10 days, yeah, a week and a half away.
So it's, the hype is there. I was actually just over at near where the rink is going to be set up this morning, and we were talking about it. They've already started putting in all the cooling system, and everything is like getting ready to go. So... You got all these NHL people here in town now, and you can just feel the energy is already in the air, so mm-hmm. to speak.
Well, for the people that are wondering what's the vibe like, it's now here. Scott just said it. And lastly, in this warm-up segment, I was mentioning to you that this Saturday, I had to let my buddy Kevin Kaminsky down somewhat. He asked if I could come out and be at the LaRonge Yorkton neutral site game in Churchbridge on Saturday night, and I said I could go. And then my business manager, Joe Gunnis, ended up getting us this event in Arcola, fundraising sports dinner, and I had to back out on Killer, which kills me to do that. But this Saturday, I will be in Arcola with Matthew Barnaby and Andre Waugh. And I didn't think for a second that your face would light up when you heard those names. I've never met them before. Son, you're telling me I'm in for a major treat.
Yeah. Well, so for the last few years, I've played in this event in Saskatoon called the Hockey Heroes event. And it's a fundraiser that we do up in Saskatoon for the Heart and Stroke. And they bring in a number of NHL players. And this past year, both of those guys were there. And Andre has been there every year that I've played. And Barnaby's been there. He was there last year. There's a couple of stories that I probably can't share on the air here, but absolutely hilarious guys. And if you get a chance, definitely make sure to ask Andre Waugh to sing the Russian national anthem. He does a fantastic rendition, and he's a lot of fun. You'll have a good time with him.
And the people of Arcola area. So if you haven't bought your tickets yet, come on out this Saturday night in Arcola. It's a fundraiser, obviously, for the community. And because I have not met them, their agent called me, or it was Barnaby's agent called me this week, and he goes, Rod, I could send you a bio on these guys, but you're going to be driving them to Arcola. You'll find out all you need in the 2 hours that on the way to Arcola. So have fun with those guys. And so I'm glad for the endorsement. Anything else, Scott? Did you talk about your teams and the SJ you mentioned?
Yeah, we're also working with a number of teams in the SJHL. We've got partnerships with Humble Broncos, the Nipawin Hawks, as well as the Melfort Mustangs. And, you know, we're working we love hockey, first of all, Saskatchewan, you know, being in Saskatchewan, we're a Saskatchewan company. We want to work with the Saskatchewan teams. So we're always looking for new ways to partner with these teams. And we want to continue to expand our reach into some of these other markets that are maybe a little bit smaller cities, smaller communities. But we know that they're very passionate about their hometown hockey, and we want to get involved.
And so do we.
Yeah.
So it works out great.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the other thing, I talked about the tidal wave of of support we've got here from all the teams. But the other thing with the CFL, Darren and I talk about it all the time. My job here is the balance of content, what we're going to talk about on a daily basis. And these teams are starved for coverage after the newspaper cutbacks and the TV station cutbacks. Absolutely. And all the rest. They are. They're not getting coverage at all. And yet when you look at the CFL, which really is where our bread is buttered, mm-hmm. because if you're a CFL fan, this is what we were saying the other day, and Tyler was part of this conversation too. If you want analysis, the only time you're getting it is from the panels during games. You're not getting it the rest of the week. And just think about that for a second. TSN's That's Hockey. Sportsnet's shows. What they're mm-hmm. every day
yeah.
on the NHL. And the CFL, it's getting less and less and less and less.
Yeah.
And that's why our numbers are so high amongst the CFL and why the teams have supported us so well. But I think there's room for everybody.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's perfect. Yeah. All right, Scott, and I see your boy Rob Tooley's in here. Yeah. Hi, Rob.
Hi, guys.
Thanks for
hey,
coming
no,
down. Appreciate it. Sponsors, couch is full. This is the warm-up. The Silver Fox rolling in next. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. We have over 800 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new vehicles and 1.9% on used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Allen Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Hey, welcome back to the program, everybody, on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us for coffee. Caliber coffee, that is. I cut my sports update off. We stopped after the Leafs and the Oilers. I got a couple more to go before we bring in the Silver Fox here. James Harden put up 40 points and 10 rebounds, but his Houston Rockets still couldn't get a win last night. They were defeated 128-114 by the Spurs in NBA preseason play. We'll be in Houston. Come on down to Houston, right, Dukes? Two Rockets. I'm still going.
Yeah,
hang on. The Pittsburgh Penguins handed the Colorado Avalanche their first loss of the season last night. Brandon Tanev secured Pittsburgh's win with a shorty in overtime that sealed the score at 3-2. And Cleveland Brown star Miles Garrett says he was punched in the face by someone who wanted to take a picture with him yesterday. The defensive end posted on Twitter saying the so-called fan hopped out of his car to snap the photo, then punched Garrett in the face. The NFL player called the hit a, quote, soft bop, unquote. And that is your morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. I need to roll on.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Clark has said he has the Riders depth chart for those to look at. Saskatchewan Rough Riders at the British Columbia Lions on Friday Night Football, 8 p.m. And there it is, boys, as we welcome Kelly Rempel into the bunker here. No Micah Johnson. As a matter of fact, if you look at the bottom of the page, Cameron Judge comes back. 48, Johnson Jr. in, Phillip Blake in, out, Micah Johnson, Sam Hurl, Darius Bladick. So there's the three changes. The big one is Micah Johnson out as we welcome the Silver Fox to the bunker, and we'll get to that CFL talk that we were promising. Remps, obviously we'll get to the dub with you too, but the BC Lions should be nothing more than speed bumps for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, I would think. With so. Or without Micah Johnson.
Yeah, and it's not like Micah Johnson has like been tearing it up even when he's been in the lineup. Disappointing year. When you're paying a guy that kind of money, you're kind of hoping that he gets plays like an all-star caliber player, and that just hasn't happened. So, you know, but maybe you know what I've seen over the years, and we've all seen this. Sometimes, even if it's an injury, you know, give a guy a little bit of an opportunity to have a few weeks off, and sometimes they come back better than they were. Now, he had been playing better. let's be clear, the first half of the year was a bit of a disaster. But he was playing better before he got hurt. But I kind of laugh when people say, oh, well, he's double teamed on every play. No, he's not, because I've been watching.
I know.
And
I
he
know.
Has not been double teamed on
every
play. As
the kids say, I know, right? Because at the Hamilton game here, the first night of Buffalo days, I tweeted, this guy's not earning his money. And yeah. I just got an avalanche of abuse from Rider fans. Wow. And I'm like, he hasn't been bad. But he hasn't been $250,000, no. highest paid Rider defensive player in franchise history.
No.
He hasn't been that.
No. no.
And then all of a sudden we start hearing he was not in shape in the first half, and then now he is. And now, hey, load management, I guess, if that's what it needs to be, and he's ready to go for the playoffs.
Well, you can't, good. Yeah, you can't. You can talk about a guy getting double teamed, or he's doing his job and he's very effective. And at the end of the day, all that matters is that Craig Dickinson is happy and that Jeremy O'Day mm-hmm. is happy with the money they're spending and what they're getting out of him.
But, are they, though?
But well, that's
the, I bet they're not.
Who knows? But at the end of the day, as fans, when we're paying a guy and he's the highest paid guy, we want him among the leaders in yeah. sacks. We want him among the leaders in tackles, in quarterback pressures, because those are the things we look at, and those are the things that really affect the game. So if he's not putting up those numbers, he's not worth the money.
Well, especially when what all we heard at the beginning of the year was, well, there's good news and bad news. The bad news is we lost Willie Jefferson, but hang on a minute. He's been replaced by Micah Johnson, so we won't be quite as good on the edge, but we'll be better up the middle. Well, come on. There's not even any comparison between who's a better football player, Micah Johnson or Willie Jefferson. We're talking about a guy that might be the best defensive player in the CFL that we lost by a guy that's been a marginal upgrade. So I guess what the hope is, though, is that he can get back to that old form and then think of how good that defense would be. If you were getting that kind of a push up the middle as to what were the, you know, the Stampeders were getting from him, as an example, if he could get back to that old form, now you got something, because they haven't had that push.
No, and with three games to go plus playoffs, are we going to? Usually things don't magically change in the playoffs, has been my history and what I've seen. Now, they went into Calgary last week, and now the Riders have Charleston Hughes and Micah Johnson on their side, and they still couldn't affect the line of scrimmage. And we'll see when those two teams meet in the playoffs. I think that they will, but they better start putting up the numbers, because let's be honest, their position coach was fired in the opening third of the season. And I think we all know why.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar to the offensive line in BC. Brian Chu fired, and all of a sudden the whole group got better. Did the Riders D-line group get better after that change? I'm not sure that they did.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think that they did.
No, I don't think they did either. And it's not always about having the right guy in with the right game plan. Sometimes it's just about putting the guys in a better mood, whatever it might be, morale. But yeah, when you're playing Calgary in the playoffs, you have to put pressure on Bo Levi Mitchell. That's the most important thing in the football game, and they didn't do it. And they lost the football game. And now we can talk about the calls, and we can talk about mistakes
and
other reasons they've lost. But you're not going to win unless you can win the line of scrimmage and put pressure on them. And they were missing Derek Dennis. They had injuries on their offensive line. So they're only going to get healthier. They're only going to get better. So that's a big task for that group up front.
You can chime in at any time. Prairie Mobile text line 306-840-8777. That's 840-8777. Our daily poll question, which we do every Thursday, this particular question for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center: which is Canada's game of the week in the CFL? And here's the schedule, if you didn't know. Friday night, Toronto at Montreal begins the doubleheader. Riders at Lions is the second game of the doubleheader. Then Saturday, it's Ottawa at Hamilton, followed by Winnipeg at Calgary. From our Facebook respondents, 66% saying Winnipeg at Calgary. The Twitter responders saying 83% is Winnipeg at Calgary. Canada's game of the week, Riders at Lions next at 16%. Followed by Toronto and Montreal, and 0% for Ottawa at Hamilton, which surprises me a little bit, but it also doesn't. But are you a little surprised that Winnipeg at Calgary is a runaway winner?
Yeah, no, because that's instantly that's how I voted.
Yeah.
I mean, that's that, you know, it's not just the fact that it should be a heck of a game, but the ramifications of the game are huge. You know, and I think if it would have been Saskatchewan versus Winnipeg or Saskatchewan versus Calgary or Calgary versus Winnipeg, any way you look at it, when those three teams are going head to head, that's the game of the week.
Yeah, I got nothing to add to that. I mean, that's exactly it. It's a big game. And for Winnipeg's fans and the people watching in Winnipeg, they've got a shred of hope again after a win, a big win. And now they're on the right track. And now you're going to go into Calgary and really see if this was just an anomaly, a 1 week where they just happened to put things together, or is this team actually ready to get back to playing football and get ready to compete for a Grey Cup again and be ready for the playoffs? They're going to find out for sure. And you won't know, I mean, a win will help, but you need to be really competitive against Calgary for me to really start buying into the Blue Bombers again. I need to see
something. You've sold me. And I wasn't really set on Riders at Lions, even though to me that's always a sexy matchup. But the BC Lions have nothing to play for, and the Riders are really only playing for the opportunity to run the table. The game means nothing, whereas Winnipeg at Calgary means a ton. But that's what you're saying, Rennes.
The game doesn't mean anything for the Riders?
Overall. Well, apparently not based on poll results.
Speed bump.
No, but the question is the game, which is the game of the week?
To the nonpartisan viewer, it means nothing. Whereas as a viewer, just a fan, Winnipeg at Calgary means a ton. You just sold me on that.
Yeah, don't go back on this now. because
no, but you're
but we've said that the Riders that the Lions are just a speed bump for the Riders. It matters. The win matters big time for the Riders. But we've already crossed that.
It's not must see TV.
We're already into the next week. We just know what's going to happen. But I'm excited about that game a little bit. To see if Brandon Bridge gets in. I haven't seen their depth chart for this week, if that's out yet.
For BC.
But I wonder. It's very short for Brandon Bridge to get signed and to play. But I'll watch them. I'll watch BC to see if he gets in and plays.
All right. So you've got 24 hours pretty much to vote on that poll for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. So we've covered some NHL today, some CFL. And we talked about some upcoming events this weekend around the province. I have one thing written. Tim's! ! This drove me nuts this morning. Trying to get from the gym to here with a Tim Horton stop in between. Because I know we've got Caliber Coffee, but you also know that I'm a coffee pig. So I'll get through my Tim Hortons first, and then I'll get to the Caliber Coffee.
Oh, yeah.
You understand.
For sure.
And Caliber understands. 25 cars lined up in the Tim Hortons drive-thru at Victoria Square Mall, including one jabroni with a truck and trailer. What are you doing?
No.
Gummed up the whole thing. So I go and park, and I run into Tim Hortons, and there's nobody in line.
So you're in and out faster than the drive-thru.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I ran into Edmund Bankowski, legendary Ram stats guy there, and we had a little visit. I said, hey, how are you going to have coffee here? You're not going to be able to watch the show. And he goes, I'll go home and watch it later. That's what I always do. But do you not see that? People would rather, this is a Canadian thing, I think. They'd rather sit in line for 20 minutes than run in and out of their car in less than five.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I've tried both, and most of the time, that running in doesn't work. You got lucky.
Because they
most of the time, if you do that and you run in, you think that you're gonna be say, well, that Tim Hortons line, man, I'd be better off to just run inside and get my coffee. I've done that three or four times, and
you still took
time. Sitting there going, okay, that van that I would have been behind has now gone through, and I'm still standing behind Mr. and Mrs. Smith that can't make up their mind.
But the worst part. And that one, I know which drive you're talking about, because the worst is when you get in there and it says, don't park in the walkway or don't stop in the walkway. Well, they do. So when you do go inside, you can't get out because they're blocking it, or it goes all the way around to the street and it's blocking traffic. So people got to be a little more courteous.
Well, take your truck and trailer, park it over at the Safeway and walk in.
Well, and as I was walking out with my Tim Hortons, I looked at the guy because he was still in, and I gunned him.
But that's what you do.
Did you intimidate him?
He didn't even care. I didn't even think he noticed.
He didn't even notice.
He's one of those guys.
But that's what you do, just like in hockey, right? When you do go in, Kel, like you did with the truck and trailer, you take a number, and you'd be like, I'd still be behind that guy. And when you come out, you realize, oh, yeah, he's not even
You know what I would have done? I'd have got out with my phone,
And taking a picture.
Started taking pictures of his license plate, and I'll show you. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but you're going to pay for this.
Joe Lazito, watching down in New York State, says drive-through lines are the same down here at Dunkin' Donuts. Insane. Oh, they are everywhere. I know it's not just a Canadian thing, but it's just Canadians want to say how fat and lazy Americans are, and I'm like, you're just proving it yourself. And the thing about staying in your car, it's not minus 47. I get you're going to sit in your car. You don't want to get out of your car. It's a beautiful day here today.
Yeah. This reminded me of a funny story I saw on Facebook. No, it was a drive-through story, and it was somebody in line was honking or being really rude or trying to cut you off. So you're sitting in front of them, and you go to the first window, and, hey, I'd like to pay for the person behind me, right? Make them, you know, I'll kill them with kindness. And you get to the second window, and you take both orders because you paid for both orders, and by the time they get through, they've got no coffee. So you really stick it to them that way. It's not actually kill them with kindness. They come through in the first window. They're like, oh, yeah, the person had paid for your order. So by the time they get to the second window, that person already took the order, too. So if you really want to stick it to them, don't tell them I sent you.
To the Facebook wall. Is this you, Clark, on the Ryder Rookie of the Year nominees? Okay, so the CFL has released the candidates for Rookie of the Year across the league. Who's eligible? And Clark has pointed out the top four rookie riders eligible for Rookie of the Year are Dakota Shepley, Charbel DeBeyer, D lineman, right? Canadian D lineman?
Yeah.
And two Canadian receivers, Justin McGinnis or Braden Lenius. Producer Clark chimes in with, I think the choice is fairly clear. It would be Dakota Shepley?
Yeah, I don't think it's close.
Not really, but is there something that I'm missing?
No.
What do you think, Kelly? I can see that you're... smell smoke. You're thinking...
To say that I'm like dialed right into everything that the offensive line are doing would be a stretch. I got nothing.
But he's the only one with significant...
Those guys get graded on every single snap of every single play all year. And I would have no way of knowing what those scores look like.
Sure. But just the fact that he's had to come in and play significant minutes.
Yeah.
And
I like him because he's cool looking.
Been out and you've had, he's cool.
He's a cool looking.
And he's been in Deadpool, right? He was in the movie Deadpool. But
he just looks like a guy that you wouldn't want to mess around with.
No.
Dakota Shepley?
Oh, yeah.
He's a star.
Oh, yeah.
He's a very marketable star, I would suggest. He's not being marketed, I don't think. He's marketing himself on his Instagram and so forth. I have just picked up the Prairie Mobile text line. Here's one for the techies. Where are the tech people today from around this place? Apparently, our live feed is down.
Okay.
On the audio. I don't know. I've been sitting here hosting the show for the last 35 minutes, so I wouldn't know. I just looked it up. So if somebody could look into that, please. Everybody. Oh, they're working on it. Clark says they already knew. Wayne in Victoria, BC writes in and says, Dakota Shepley is Rookie of the Year, hands down. Well, that was easy. We don't even need to do a poll.
No.
Thanks, Wayne.
Thanks, Wayne. He has anointed him. I think... Oh, Clark just tells me it's been fixed. That was easy. Where's the easy button? Yeah. By the way, I see all our tech people are in Swift Current. Did you notice that last night?
Yes.
The Canadian Cowboys Association, no, it's the rodeo. CFR, Canadian Finals Rodeo, going on at the Innovation Iplex out there in Swift Current. And I don't know if you saw the video. My good friend Hurricane Huber from Cat Country 98.3 was there.
Steve Hurricane Huber
was doing a Facebook Live from the rodeo last night. And I'm watching it because, as you know, I'm a rodeo fan. And the clock, which was built by these guys right here, Paul and IKS. Scott, you're in Paul's chair, if you see, but you're lucky he's in Swift Current. It is a gigantic monstrosity of a clock. In that rink. Even fit.
I know.
Have you seen it, Kelly, at all? We got to get out to Swift Current to a game. But I just thought...
Oh, like you're talking about the one in the middle of the hockey? Oh, yeah. Of course I've seen it.
What do you think?
It's great.
Oh, it's awesome.
I mean,
it's awesome.
It's for a town like that in a rink that seats 2,800. I don't know. I don't think you can get it much better.
It's a Madison Square Garden caliber clock in Swift Current. I feel like the players are skating going...
I remember the first couple of years, though, or maybe it was the first year, before they kind of had the technology right.
Yeah.
You would see the little cursor of the mouse clicking, and then they would show the replay.
Back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Old clock.
But you know what?
Everywhere. But every rink had that.
I hope they have bulletproof glass on it, though, because the number of pucks that hit that thing, because it hangs pretty low, right? But it seems to be holding
up. I love that rink anyway, though.
There is a time they should have been putting bulletproof glass in the visitors' radio broadcast booth in Swift Current when I needed a police escort in and out of that town. The young people don't even know about those stories, and I'm not sure I want to tell them anymore. Anyways, then our viewers chiming in says the clock is very nice. Was there a couple weeks back? I didn't say it wasn't nice. I'm just saying it's gigantic for this tiny little rink in Swift Current, and good for them. Because we're going out to Swift Current shortly to do a social media presentation here upcoming. On the way today, from the Myers Curling team, Kirk Myers, who's going to be our curling insider and analyst. He just doesn't know it yet. Matthew Cause from CFL.ca, Brandon Crow, the voice of the Brandon Wheat Kings. That's all ahead. Thanks for joining us for coffee this morning, everybody. We'll be right back on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Saskatchewan's...
Oh, yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Thursday morning, episode number 96. As we are finding out, not a ton of number 96s out there. I've been recognizing Scott Schultz, the old 96er. Somebody has written in Mikko Rantanen. And that's about it. Two 96s. I'll have to Google this a little later for more. And you saw the ad for Sask Snow Beef in the break there. Coming up, our WHL weekly prospect feature. That is in hour two as we feature WHL players. And they're picked every week by Ian Crosby, the dairy farmer from between here and Moose Jaw. He picks them. So be staying tuned for that. We'll be talking CFL, WHL, NHL, all the rest as we roll along today, plus a little more on the CFL Rookie of the Year candidates, which were announced this morning. But Kirk Myers joins us from the Myers curling team and a few other curling teams we've learned over the break, joining Rems and I in the bunker. How you doing, Kirk?
Good. Thanks. Welcome for having back. Me. Yeah, thanks. This is it's cool. It's cool hanging out. Maybe I'll have to spend some more time. Maybe I can get Paul's chair once in a while. Rod. Wouldn't that
well,
be a nice invite?
No camera on Paul's chair. We're putting you to work if you come in here. Hey, you came with some speaking notes. We're going to spend a little time on curling here. And I didn't realize Great Western, huge curling supporters too, to the point that they actually curl. They don't just spend their money and sponsor it. They're out there on the ice as well. And you guys are going to get together and talk after. I love how we connect people around here.
Yeah, networking.
Yeah, networking. Yeah, sponsorship. Partnerships. That's how Saskatchewan works, everybody. It's how it's always worked. And it works.
That's right.
You were caught in the Portage storm?
Yeah, I don't, did you hear about that storm, Rod?
Don't
I wasn't sure
start.
If you heard about that
we
or not.
We just got that put to bed yesterday. Well, thanks.
I wasn't sure if you were aware of that yet.
I looked it up.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, we were caught. It was a great big spiel. Basically, I think most of the top teams in the world were there. It's a big spiel every year. They got the curling rink attached to the hotel, so we don't have to leave. You know, you show up and you're there all week, and obviously, the weather got worse and worse, and the power went out at about 9:30 on Friday night. Didn't come back on, I think, for 36 hours. So by that time, the ice had melted. So no. The ice was gone, and the curlers were sitting in the curling club lobby for about all day, chatting, figuring out all the issues of the world and the curling world, and drinking some 016s while we're at it, maybe a couple of those. And then at about 5 o'clock that day, they said the spiel's over. The ice had melted. They'd lost the ice. We had, once the roads opened up, we all head home, but we had to wait for the roads to open up before we could even do that. It was a crazy. I've never been a part of anything. I think somebody asked Glenn Howard, who was there, who's Glenn's 58 years old, one of the best curlers ever to live, been everywhere. He said he's never been a part of anything like that, where the spiel gets canceled because of the power outage. It was crazy.
That's unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. So, but the spiel was over, and I had heard the women's spiel starts this weekend. So same thing. Most of the top women's teams in the world are there. They got the ice back. I don't think the ice is looking as good. I think a lot of the paint had run, but they're back, and curling's back on in Portage this weekend.
Wildest thing in the world. This isn't like a rainout in baseball. I can't imagine that they're going to make this up at a later date, or is there anything planned for that for you guys on the tour?
It's going to be over. So they had talked about, I think they're going to send us our entry fees back eventually, which I got to say, Canadians who sponsored it in Manitoba, they were amazing. They took care of us. They found a way to feed us when there was no power, no way to make food. And they're going to get our entry fees back to us. The spiel's over. All things considered, for us, not a big deal. Our personal team, because all the big teams were there. All the teams were chasing for points and competing for points on the tour. No one's getting points that weekend. But I know for some of the other teams, Peter de Cruz out of Switzerland, who's the 2018 bronze medalist at the Olympics, they probably won't make the European Championships now because they couldn't get points that weekend and they needed points for the deadline. So for some of the teams, big issues. Other teams, not. I think the spiel's gone. It'll be done for this year. They'll ramp it up again next year, and it's just one of those things, I guess, such is life.
As we roll along, just injecting some viewer comments, Jason Catcher is watching from France. It's morning here. I can't imagine what it is there. I assume mid to late evening. He says Pavel Bure wore number 96. So thank you, Jason, from France this morning. We are literally the worldwide show. This is Norway, not France, by the way, but right colors. Continuing on, you got a hell of a story about this next, the first slam of the year.
Yeah.
And who you're curling with.
Yeah, I got a call, I guess, yesterday from one of my good buddies, Colton Flash, who plays with the Kevin Cooey Rink, Briar Champs last year. They're in desperate need of a player next week. BJ Neufeld, the normal third on the team, ended up, he's having a baby. So his wife went into labor. He won't be able to make the first slam, which Grand Slam, which starts next week in North Bay, Ontario. They asked me to fill in, and I can't really say no to that, being able to play for Kevin Cooey and learn from Kevin Cooey for a week and get to hang out with, I think you call him the meat.
He calls himself
the meat.
Ben Hebert, yes.
And so I get to hang out with with a couple good Saskatchewan boys, Ben Hebert, Regina, Colton Flash from Bigger, and then learn from, you know, one of the best skips ever to live. So it'll be fun to go to a Grand Slam next week, play with one of the best teams in the world, and hopefully win one.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That would be, so when they called, what was your... What was going through your mind when you first got the call?
Quite honestly, and this is maybe sad, and this is maybe tells a tale of the way curling's going, but I go, oh my God, it's going to be 4 weeks in a row. So it'll be, I've played for 3 weeks now. I'm going to Medicine Hat this weekend for another World Curling Tour event, and then I'm going to get a ride from Medicine Hat to Calgary to take the red eye at midnight on Monday night to get to the spiel in time on Tuesday in North Bay, Ontario. So my first my first notion was, oh my God, another spiel 4 weeks in a row, I'm getting burned out. And I think that's a telltale sign of a lot of curling teams these days. It's a chase for points. All curling teams are just going, trying to get points to qualify for the Olympic trials, to get funding to make sure they can fund another season, to get on TV with the Grand Slams. And I think teams are getting burnt out. And the fact of the matter is, all these players, and including myself, we have day jobs we have to get back to too. So it's becoming a little bit of an issue in curling because there's just so many places that curlers need to play and be. But at the same time, any chance you get a chance to go play with one of the best teams in the world, you're going to jump at it. So it was pretty exciting, too.
What do you think about that, Kelly? What runs through your mind when you hear that?
Well, you know, my perception would be that it tends to be the same teams that do the majority of the winning. And so if you're not one of those teams and you're not getting the money, it's a catch-22, because if you're a good team but not a great team and you want the experience of playing in these tournaments, then you have to play in the tournaments. But if it doesn't pay the bills, you can't very well quit a $80,000 a year job at TELUS or whatever, a government job, to curl. So the rich get richer, right? Like, because the guys that can afford because they're winning all the time,
yeah,
they're the ones that are winning all the tournaments and able to compete.
Yeah, it's really a chicken and the egg thing. Is you get good and then you slowly get a little more sponsorship and maybe a little more winnings to fund the season. But how do you get to that point? And that's a struggle, and that's something all the curlers talk about these days, because there's that gap right now from the amateurs to the elite, to the teams that are really, really good, and bridging that gap is so tough, and there's not enough money in the sport, quote unquote, for a lot of teams to do it, and you need flexible jobs, you need employers that are understanding, you need families that are understanding. I think I always say I spend about 100 days a year on the road, and I'm sure that's more now with mixed doubles as well, and these slams get, the Grand Slams are 7-day events or 6-day events. I mean, they aren't like 3 or 4 day events like the old curling was. And you usually have to take a day to fly there, to take a day to fly back. And there's a lot to it. But I mean, at the same time, I still love it. I love going on the road every week. And I think that's what keeps the teams that aren't quite there coming back. They just love traveling. They love playing. They love kind of being in that group and getting better. But once that shine wears off, you lose a lot of those players. And a lot of those players that are trying to get there are kind of the younger group, the ones that maybe don't have families yet and don't have that stuff, because once you have families and a job and a career, if you're not at that elite level, you just can't really spend the time getting there.
You know, I back when I worked at CTV, we used to do the Sandra Schmirler golf tournament, and the first couple tournaments, well, not the first couple, I think we did 5 or 6 or 7 years in a row, and Joan McCusker was on the committee. And so, you know, you've got these people that know all these curling people, and all these different players from all the different rinks would come in for this golf tournament. And of course, there's the social the night before and then the tournament. And it dawned on me that this is, even though it's pretty strong competition, and when you're watching the game on TSN, you're not seeing the teams banter back and forth, and everybody's deadpan serious, and at the end there's kind of stiff handshakes, and there's not a lot of, hey, good job, guy. You know, even football players will do that. Yeah. Curlers don't do that.
Yeah.
But when you see them away from that, these guys are all like they're best friends. It kind of surprised me a little bit at how close a community it was, because what you see on TV, you're not seeing that.
Yeah, and I would echo that 100%. That's part of the reason I love the game, and it's getting away from that a little bit, but not a lot. Like, that is so cool that call it 30 teams, men or women, travel around the world together, essentially, and are really best of friends. Even so, we'll go and play, you know, Kevin Cooey, and on the ice, you know, Ben and our team will be beaking back and forth, but then off the ice, you're going to have a beer together. And that is so cool about our game. And then same in Portage. The spiel got canceled. Well, there's 28 teams stuck in a hotel in Portage La Prairie. What do? We sit around, we enjoy coffee, we enjoy some breakfast, we enjoy a beer, an 016 beer together. And that's so cool about the game, that you can play for the biggest thing in the world, the Olympics, the Briars, you know, the Grand Slams. And after it's over, it's over. And you can laugh and you can joke and you have, you know, some of the best friends for life. And those charity events really show that when they come in and they're just having a good time. So
yeah,
that's one of the most amazing things about curling. And I think most players would echo this. I hope it's something we never lose.
For sure. But the world that I come from, as you're saying that, it's reminding me, and this is the world that Kelly comes from, is the 1969 Memorial Cup when the Pats and the Montreal Junior Canadiens played, Kelly, in a best of seven, and one plane flew back and forth with both teams. And Mal Isaac tells the story. He was the broadcaster for the Pats on CKCK Radio. The Pats were in the back of the plane. The Montreal Junior Canadiens were in the front of the plane, and the media was in the middle, and they had a brawl on the plane on the way from Regina to Montreal.
Yeah, well,
I'm not saying it's great. I'm saying that's what I'm used to. They couldn't keep these guys apart. Well, so I enjoy the gentleman aspect of where you come. The sportsmanlike app.
Well, in 2006, when the Warriors, I know this for a fact, played the Vancouver Giants and they were sharing a plane.
Same thing happened?
They had to keep those guys away from each other because there was guys that wanted to kill one another.
They're animals!
Yeah, so... people aren't trying to kill each other on the curling ice, though. Maybe that's
most of the time. Most of the time. Those things happen. I'll tell you, those things happen. Those things happen in the bar after the game, those sort of things. They don't happen often, but that kind of stuff happens. But that's maybe for the Rod Peterson late night show or something like that.
After dark. After dark
after
show.
After dark show, yeah.
For sure. No, and I respect that. I'm just so used to guys trying to rip each other's head off every day. By the way, when you're talking about understanding families and this, I have to bring up your girlfriend, partner, Claire Hannah.
Partner, Claire Hannah.
Yes.
Much better half, we can say.
Okay. If you watch any of her social media, because she's more active than you are.
Yes.
She makes no secret of the fact that you guys are a couple.
Yep.
And I would like to say you're like Western Canada's Brangelina. Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie. Power
couple.
I'll
take that. Yeah, you'll take that. Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about what we really want to talk about. How's that? Because she's doing her thing on CFL on TSN, sideline reporting. You're doing your curling thing, conquering the world there. That's got to be some interesting conversations. And
it is. And, you know, we call ourselves Clark, Claire and Kirk. So we do even have ourselves a nickname.
I love it.
I know that's corny, but the crazy things you do for love, right?
Right.
But no, it is hectic. It is crazy. I moved to Regina. Talk about crazy things you do for love, right?
Yep.
The Saskatoon people will know what I'm talking about there, but you guys get
it's
that.
Not so bad.
No, I got to tell you, I'm starting to really like it. Regina's got some beautiful things. I mean, the Wascana is gorgeous. Some amazing places to eat. I'm really coming around to it, but yeah, it is crazy. She's always on the go. As a sports media person, most of your work is done at night and weekends. So she's always doing her thing there, and she loves her gig with CTV and TSN. She loves the fact that she can cover TSN sports, the Riders, you know, how huge that is, but also get to cover, you know, women's sports in Regina, local sports, amateur sports. She loves the fact that she can tell those stories as well as tell the Rider stories. And I hope I'm not putting words into her mouth, but she just loves that. So I love the fact that I can watch her excel at that. And then she's supportive of me being on the road. I mean, it is tough when we have to be away from each other so much, but we both knew what we were getting ourselves into when we signed up for this. So we're supportive
Did
of it. We
love
it.
Sign up?
Yeah, we signed it. We signed an agreement.
Okay. Clark. It was signed by both Clark. Yeah,
signed by Clark. I don't know. I'll tell a little story. I don't know if I think she'll be fine with this. So when we first started seeing each other, she was like, "Well, he's an athlete. I'm a sports media person. I probably shouldn't be doing this, but I really like him." Da da da. So she goes to her original boss, not in Regina here, and says, "I gotta open up. I gotta tell you something. I started seeing an athlete." And the boss goes, "Oh man. Well, who is it? Well, he's a curler." And the boss goes, "Oh, geez. Well, at least he's not a Rider. Don't worry about it. He's just a curler." And so then everything was fine. Yeah. So most people don't view curlers as athletes. And hey, maybe we shouldn't be drinking so much beer, right?
What's funny, but yeah, or at breakfast. But she came on here. She's been on here a few times. Yeah. And she's just knocked it out of the park. She's been great on here. She's very talented, obviously.
Yeah.
She said that she loves Regina more than Saskatoon. So there's that.
Yeah.
And I laugh. Do you guys argue about that?
No, we don't argue. Do couples argue ever? I didn't think we. Yeah. We don't argue.
But here's the funny thing about Regina, Saskatoon, because I used to stir it up as much as anybody. Regina Moose Jaw, Kelly, you know, and we talked earlier about Swift Current, and I had to get a police escort in and out of there. And now with Winnipeg, like, I see them as our prairie cousins, you know, and there's a good-natured ribbing back and forth. But it reminds me of this. Growing up, Milestone, Saskatchewan, well, you know, we didn't like people from Rollo. And let's be honest, they're not as bright in Rollo. But I went back there.
They speak so highly of you.
Right. I went back there a couple of years ago for the Keith Ollie Hockey and Hearts Golf Tournament. I'm at the supper, and they're on the mic, and they're trashing Milestone on the mic. And I'm like, guys, We're 18 miles apart. We're the same people. You know what I mean?
Throw yep. Lang into the mix.
Throw Lang in. Well, that's a, you know what I mean? 7 miles the other way. We're all the same. Regina, Saskatoon. We're all the same. Regina, Winnipeg. News flash. We're all the same. So
I couldn't agree yeah. more. And that's, I think that's what makes those little rivalries fun, is because we are all the same. And we can go back and forth and make fun of each other for the same things we are. And that's what makes it, I think it makes it fun and
like
exciting.
From Williston and Minot bantering back and forth about, like, who's got the way better culture?
Yeah.
Honestly, people look from around the country and the continent, look in on these silly little fights and go, this is ridiculous, you guys. It is ridiculous.
It is.
So it is fun to have the rivalry. However, when you walk outside the Moose Jaw Civic Center after a game and the hood of my car is caved in because somebody jumped on it, that's a problem. Somebody always takes it too far.
That's a very good point.
And the dent gets bigger every time he tells the story. at one time, there was a dent. It was like just a little, like, you just had to really look at it. And wait a minute. And now they're jumping on the hood yeah. and smashing everything. Yeah.
Well, thanks. Honestly, it was the size probably of somebody's ass. Originally. So to say it was the
whole
hood.
Yeah, but that's a pretty wide scope if you looked around.
We are talking about Moose Jaw, which reminds me. Lastly, this morning in the gym, I'm not going to name the guy, but he jokingly referred to the brand center as the Semple Temple. And I said, well, that's appropriate because we call the Moose Jaw rink the Remple Temple.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Got to be known for something.
That's right.
Yeah, and
hosting a big curling event.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. Lastly on this topic, Kirk, before we let you go, the Scotties is coming. Not that you're going to speak, eloquently on the Scotties. This is men's versus women.
Of course
he is. Well, you can. But we're going to be there. We're going to have a role in this, I understand. And Kelly, for all the work that you did put in, because I tease you on it with the Remple Temple stuff, but I know the work that you put in and all that crew in Moose Jaw to have these types of events.
Oh, it's awesome.
Must feel so good.
Well, I know that. Look, here's why you get it a second time, is because the first time was a huge success. And, you know, I remember talking to Bernadette McIntyre about this. You know, she said, like, we could never, ever have ever imagined that we would be getting, you know, 2,000 and 3,000 people to the morning draws. Like, come on. Like, usually, like, when you're watching the Scotties event in most cities on television, it's pretty full for the evening draw, but, like, it's, like, dress up like a seat for the show in the, like, the game in the morning. Mm-hmm. And in Moose Jaw, they're half full in the morning draw. They're three quarters full in the afternoon. The evening draw is packed. So, yeah, if you build it and people come, you're going to keep getting these great events. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think when we were doing your old gig, we were doing a show from there, and I think they just announced Kevin Glenn as the quarterback.
And he showed up.
And he was there, and they gave him a standing ovation, and Brendan Tamman and everybody was there. And everybody was talking about, like, what an awesome building this is. Like, no wonder they're getting these great events.
Well, and by the way, sorry to cut you off. Clark's telling me that we got to run. But in Halifax, you got two city councilors that, come hell or high water, aren't voting in favor of this new multi-purpose stadium in Halifax. And this, the idea is to be hockey, football, curling, everything for the whole community to get things like this, and they won't do it.
Yeah, but there was two that weren't going to vote for it.
They're not going to
either. So what you need is all you need is more people that are voting for it than aren't.
I would hope.
So
all right, Kirk, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, good luck in North Bay.
That's right.
Is it all right? We'll see you when you get back.
You bet. Thanks,
Rams. You sticking around?
No, I'm running. I'm on.
Well, thank you for all your contributions today.
My pleasure.
Next hour, what do we have? Matthew Cause, Brandon Crow, voice of the Wheat Kings, and we're hoping for Joey Alfieri of TSN Montreal. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our best clips on our YouTube channel.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bus down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming at the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.